From Embers Left Burning, The Biography of Young Suk Cho, Seoul, 수필과 비평사, 2013. Page 23. The very first book was Chunhyangjeon that premiered in 1903 at Wonggaksa in commemoration of the first anniversary of Emperor Gojong's enthronement. Changguk has since garnered popularity and firmly established itself within the field of Korean performance. In 1946, National Music Center affiliated Gukguksa, the formation of which was led by people including Nokju Park, was staging Chunhyangjeon. The lead role of Mongyong was still vacant, as seasoned male vocalist looked too old to perform a 16-year-old boy. These actors also lacked and were even dismissive of dancing and acting skills necessary for Changguk performance. The role of Mongyong was eventually given to a young woman who was capable of both dancing and singing. Those lucky girls who got to play Mongyong were the master Chunhaeng Im and Gwihee Park. No one had expected them to be that popular among the audience. The actors gained confidence in performing Changguk as an all-women troupe, also inspired by the success of Japan's Jakarazuka Revue Company. This is how Women's Music Association was founded by Nokju Park and other in 1948, putting 여성 국극 on the map. The association performed Okjunghwa as its inaugural performance, but it was not commercially successful. Page 171. In 1953, after the recapture of Seoul, Bao and the Pearl Necklace was staged at the Myeongdong Shigonggwan. Master Chunhaeng took the lead role of Bao, I, the role of Jaemo, Bao's friend, and actress Eran Jung, who would pass away in 2005, took the role of the princess. This piece is based on the tale from the Goguryeo kingdom. Goguryeo's King Bongsang had killed his older brother to enthrone himself, and an old royal courtier managed to escape the court with Bao, the son of the deceased king. We set up a giant tree on stage to symbolize a path that connects heaven and earth. To be more specific, Arang and Bao danced, and when the door in the tree stump opened, fairies in colorful costumes poured out onto the stage, performed a corpse ballet, and went back inside the tree through that door. We also made scratch marks on the low film and used it to create a rain effect. We also created lightning strikes. It might not seem much to the audience nowadays, but it was something to see back when it was light after the war. Page 175. 여성국국 made huge profits during the 1950s, its golden age. It had been 3 years when Chunhaeng decided to let me work as the bookkeeper. I had to be in charge of the money. After the last performance each day, Mr. Daewoo-shin, who was managing the company, and another man in charge of our company's affair would count the money. What they did before counting the money was to pour out the money from a big sack and flatten them out with a charcoal iron that looked like a head of a rooster in the front. Then I would sit next to them and fire up some charcoals. After ironing, they tied up the bills and stacked them neatly inside two or three large leather bags, so large that I could easily fit in. Page 186. Whenever the company was on tour in Seoul, the front of the house we stayed at would be swarming with female students. I would go up to the rooftop on day off to line dry our clothes, and I would see students lining up in the alleyways that led to our house. Master Chuneng locked the gate and banned us from going out entirely. By the time, trainees had fans too. The girls would knock on the tiny window facing the alleyway, loudly demanding to see the female stars they admired. Page 188. Our fans showered us with underwear and stockings as gifts, so we did not have to go shopping. One student, a volleyball player, gave us a box full of serrations after her visit to a U.S. Army base for a goodwill volleyball match. Some students sent us honest love letters and, at times, letters written with bloody fingers. Yeosonggukgu is a genre of traditional performance which gained huge popularity in the 1950s, particularly after the Korean War. Nowadays, despite occasional performances, it is struggling to survive due to the lack of new repertoires and investment in training new talents. We are perhaps anticipating a complete erasure of this genre which had been maintained in our distant memories. A performance that flourished drew countless crowds and capital in the scarred ruins of the Korean War, whose fervent fandom expressed passion beyond words. Despite all this, Yeosonggukgu will never be able to relive its glory. Yeosonggukgu is a form of performance that borrows the formal attribute of changguk, a form of theater which in turn was a modern adaptation of the traditional pansori. In the original pansori, the narrative was described, sung, and conversed by a single singer and a drummer. The modern adaptation had transformed this into a form of proscenium theater performance in which the various elements such as song, dialogues, and character were differentiated. While the format resembles the Western musical or operas, it is unique in that the roles are played by female actors only. For Yeosonggukgu, male roles are vital. The success of the performance relies much on the ability of the male lead to demonstrate his becoming a man as effectively and dazzlingly as possible. There are three designated types of characters which are represented by leading male actors. First is the male protagonist, commonly referred to as the Nimai. He is very romantic and courageous, always striving to save his lover. In fact, all those who wished to become a Yeosonggukgu actor aspired to play the male protagonist. They wanted to express a male personality that was, on the one hand, a typical character in a romance drama, But on the other hand, an extremely romantic and tender man that they have never seen in reality. The male that was enacted by the male role actor of 여성극곡 had to be an impossible gender. The second is commonly known as 가닥기. As one of the main supporting roles, he is a villain that obstructs the love between the leading couple. This is a special role that demonstrates both the weakness and allure of the so-called bad man. The third is called Sammai, whose role is to amuse the audience with his comical dialogue and funny gestures. Often, the servant or friend of the male lead, he is an important figure that would appear in every scene, triggering humor and laughter in the play. These three representations of male impersonation constantly shift between the male as a code and the gender that is performed. 여성극곡 is representative of conventional heterosexual romance drama, which described the event and obstacle that couple goes through in order to fight for their innocent love. A large part of the narrative is composed of the various episodes and conflicts that the courageous male lead encounters and overcomes in order to attain his love. Most of the time, stories from traditional pansori are modified as to emphasize the romance and match the format of changguk. Ancient legends and folk tales are sometimes adapted, and though less common, they might perform adaptation of famous Western operas. Nevertheless, in this extraordinary genre of performance, which allows the foregrounding and problematization of gender through the female actor's male impersonation, we cannot ignore the position of the female subject who is enacting the male. This condition and experience of gender bending introduces additional layers to the narrative and meaning of the performance. Also, certain signals of utterance are often transformed or transferred into a new context. For instance, the narrative of class struggle that is constantly evoked by the male lead travels through the complexity of the gender bending performance and is ultimately transformed into a signal of gender struggle. Joseon Dynasty, upon gaining independence from the Japanese colonial government in 1945, dismantled the Gwonbon known as the Giseng School in 1947. Gwonbon was an institution that trained and managed Gisengs, the female entertainers, which was operated under a Japanese-style bureaucracy. It was also a place which bolstered negative social stigmas against the women who had dancing and singing skill, labeling them as a product of this institution. After the dissolution of colonial law, many of these former Giseng, now having erased their name from the Giseng list, were absorbed into the society as practitioners of Korean traditional music. That is why during this time, there was a drastic rise of female master singers in the traditional music industry. Albeit in a limited way, it provided an outlet for women's participation in society. Paradoxically, however, it also prefigured that discrimination and stigmatization of women's participation in society. These women, having just cleared their names from the Gisaeng list, ended up being abused again, economically and sexually, by rampant male centrism of the traditional music industry. As a protest to these abuses, the women formed their own organization made up of female traditional music practitioners and fought for their visibility and influence. That is how the Women Music Association came into being. Their first Changguk production, Ok Junghwa, became the first performance of Yeoseong Gukguk, in which only women could perform on stage. This was indeed a highly independent feminist movement. There is no doubt that Chuneng Im, a distinguished male law actor, played an extensive role in bringing Yeoseong Gukguk into prominence. Due to her work, male impersonation in Yeoseong Gukguk became increasingly important. As the performances became popular, financial success naturally followed, and with plenty of investment in follow-up performances, they were able to build up a steady foundation in terms of script writing, direction, stage design, and costumes. In addition, the best experts from different genres of performance, such as theater, music theater, and dance theater, started to join Chuneng Im's troupe, as it was guaranteed they would be treated as the best and could be a part of making the best performance. The prosperity of talents, the recruitment of good actors and staff, was matched by prosperity in terms of content as they experimented with new repertoire and adopted advanced equipment and direction techniques from Japan. As they released more and more quality productions, Yeoseong Gukguk's prominence rose steadily throughout the 1950s. As popular as it was common in Yeoseong Gukguk to have more than two performances a day. Some even say that they did 2 to 3 hour performances in a day, which means that the actors spend more time on stage than outside of it. Especially for male actors, they had to spend more time identifying as a man than living the life as their biological sex. This kind of condition was extended to life outside the stage as their daily routine consisted of practicing for the stage, and even in their shared living space, male and female role actors had to eat and sleep separately. For the male actor, it wasn't necessarily about substituting a specific amount of their time as a man. Rather, it meant that they were faced with a situation where they had to perform the real man on a daily, repetitive basis. The life on and off stage slowly intersected and became merged together in the end. What does it mean to be performing each moment in a gender that is not your biological sex? And is it possible? Or rephrasing the question, what does it mean to be performing its moment in a gender that is compatible to your biological sex? Just because I have female sex organs, does it mean I can perform feminine expression and gestures in a comprehensive and stable manner? Is it possible for female sex organs and expression of femininity to be undeniably, naturally, without any effort, without any consciousness, be conforming? We are probably aware that even to express and perform the gender we are biologically assigned is a lot of effort. For a biologically female person to be feminine and a biologically male person to be male, it still requires a good amount of performance. If gender expression possesses an authority inferred by nature and that we cannot perform the other gender, how could this life of becoming male that these male role actors demonstrate be possible? Under the obligation of nature and the faith that it is a God's gift, the principle of synthesis and stability of gender and sex organ is being maintained. But for whom is the being so firmly maintained? What does real gender indicate, and what does it mean when we say natural gender expression? The male role actors of 여성국국 constantly train, even outside the theater, become the real men on stage. Practicing how to sing while pressing on their vocal cords, changing their voice to sounds like a man, reorganizing the vibration of sounds in the body interior, changing your attitude to be seen like a man, practicing how to walk, restructuring your body even when you are standing still. The look, the gesture of your hands and shoulders, they constantly inspect the minute bodily requirements and senses, thereby reinventing them. They actively use equipment to transform their body. For example, binding your breast with bandage, angling the shoulders with pads, making themselves taller by adding height to their shoes, changing the outline of their face by heavy makeup. Sometimes using small props like beards and eye patches as well. Practicing martial arts, such as sword fighting and archery, is a basic obligation. And the most difficult kind of performance for the male role actors. In those days, the props they used were not made with high quality material and technology. Sword, for instance, would be made from real metal, which made it very heavy. The male role actors had to go through constant physical training to strengthen their muscle in order to wield the heavy sword and deliver a spectacular performance of sword fighting. Fingers were chopped off, ligaments were torn, Accidents that physically threatened them happened constantly. In addition to gender performance, through training in attitude and consciousness, the bodily transformation that these male actors experienced contributed to their identification of being a real man. More than any other acting techniques, it was this embodied experience that really contributed to their self-identification. As I stated before, in the context of male impersonations by male law actors, there are important bodily experiences that contribute to their perception of their own bodies as male. Failing to notice one's pregnancy while concentrating on their performance, the experience of witnessing one's breast shrinking, these experiences have shaped their perception of gender as something that is not immutable fact of nature. I think that these male actors are going beyond the language of resemblance, of looking like something, to have internalized their desire of becoming something. Masculinity as an arbitrary product of their endless practice and training, at times encounters certain requests and emotions of the inner self. The real man that they express ironically present itself to us as a gender that does not exist in reality. Their male impersonation does not aspire to a gender law secured and demanded by society. Rather, it exposes the impossibility of binary gender norms. The male forms they enact seem to suggest a new kind of gender that lies outside the binary definitions of male and female. It is also in this respect that we find the height of the audience's enthusiasm. Their passion is not directed as a female actor who impersonates a man existing in reality, nor is it for that ambiguous boundary between male and female. Their passion is an acceptance of the allure of the never-before-seen gender subject, which disqualifies gender binaries and lies beyond gender norms. In pre-modern Korean society, it was forbidden for middle or upper class, married or unmarried women, to venture outside their house. It was difficult for them to participate in anything that went beyond the confines of their home. Danger presented itself to any woman who dared to cross that boundary, to venture outside, to become a woman of the street, meant that you could always be violated and corrupted. It meant that you were to face the fear and danger in a space no longer protected by the patriarchs of your community. The reason why so many housewives, young girls, single women, queer women, sex workers, remained loyal to 여성국국 is because it provided a space in which they could be safe and free from these fears, and at the same time, share this experience of being in a women's community that does not prohibit their desire. 여성국국, which was a performance by and for women, offered these women who had been prohibited from society an opportunity to experience and enjoy culture. For these women, traveling outside was already so difficult, and it must have been encouraging to see female actors who had achieved success in society, even though it was a limited one. Moreover, even though they were aware that these male role actors were in fact female, they could not help being sexually attracted to them. This was a moment when rigid heterosexism was being destabilized. These kinds of homosexual passion has long shaped the unique, fervent fandom of 여성국국. Fans who committed themselves to financially supporting their stars, confessing their love with letters written in blood, and in extreme cases, committing suicide for their love was deemed impossible. In some cases, their love was luckily requited. These fans, who are now in their 60s and 70s, are as loyal as ever, even after the demise of 여성국국 as a popular performance genre. They still have fan meetings and fight over who gets to sit next to the actors. In an extreme case, there was even a fan who seized and took control of an actor who was unable to move due to illness. It is hard to convey the degree and intensity of their affection. I wanted to observe how this secret passion, this fever, and intensity of emotions could take us toward that subversive space. I wanted to experience the effect that opens us up towards that space beyond this world of normativity. In a sudden moment, what if you realized everything you believed to be your life, a firm and tangible reality, was unstable? If you start to question what is real, or when you realize the fact that you can only see something new, when you go beyond what is considered real, what can you do then? How much courage do we need to question and reject what is accepted as real? Dressed as a man, singing in a man's voice, striding across the stage wielding that heavy sword, these brightest, shiniest moments of life, how can anyone pull them down from that stage?
내가 남자같처럼 나무에 자라 올라가고 학교에서 뭐 숙제 이거 쓰면 왜 사닥다리 타고 왜 지붕 위에 왜 올라가 왜. 그러니까 아버지한테 혼나고.
선생님 그때 굉장히 큰 키셨죠?
그 키나 지금 키나 같아. 왜냐면은 다리 걷어보라고 그럴지 탁 걷으니까 나를 갖다 무용으로 봤던 모양이야.
다리가 기니까.
그래가지고서 엽사가 날라왔어.
뭐라고? 엽사가. 뭐라고?
아버지 도장 받아가지고 오라고. 부모 성낙서. 근데 아버지가 여기다 주머니에도 타고 내서 저거를 어떻게 훔쳐내. 요즘 같으면 가서 목도장 하나 파가지고 줄로먹어가지고 가면 되잖아. 근데 그 짓을 못했다고 내가.
선생님 옛날에 성격이 그렇게 남자 같으시고 막 험하게 놀고 이랬다면서 왜 이렇게 빨리 애를 낳으셨어요?
나도 모르겠어.
그게 너무 궁금하더라. 응. 어떻게 결혼을 하셨을까? 이렇게 입고 댕기면서.
그래가지고
그 남자가 좋았어요, 선생님? 남편이?
군인이었었어, 군인.
군인. 선생님은 그때 한 16쯤 됐나? 그러면?
17에 났어요. 16.
그러니까 만났으려면 한 16에 만났어요. 16에 불을 껐으니까 17에 애를 낳았을 거 아니에요.
그때 불을 껐던가, 켰던가. 자자. 불 끄고 자자고.